Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Nice and soulful version of that song. All right, we're in week two of our three-part series, The No Fear Bible, right? And so often we look at that Bible and we are afraid of it, very afraid of it. And sometimes that Bible has been used to hit us over the head with, yeah, in our life experience, those 66 books of the Bible. But it doesn't have to be that way if we understand what the Bible is truly about. And last week we looked at it in terms of journey of consciousness, going from innocence to lost innocence, through the hard knocks of experience, and then to renewed innocence, to that wisdom that comes when we've gone through experience, but we remember the wonder that it was like when we were children, to rekindle that, but with greater knowledge. And so in that context, it becomes a beautiful journey of understanding. And this week, we're going to talk about the power of metaphysics in terms of Bible interpretation, right? Metaphysics, if you go to a seminary or a theological college, metaphysics is a study of being, what it means to be. How did all this come into being in the first place? What sense does it make? In other words, not what's happening in the surface of things, but what's truly happening, what's deeper than just the surface of our lives. If we're not careful, we can spend most of our lives just on the surface, right? Just dealing with all the things that have to be done. But we know, because we wouldn't be in unity unless we know. We know there's something deeper and greater than that. Well, that's a metaphysical understanding. In unity, we'd say metaphysics is a higher understanding of the physical. Meta meaning higher than the physical. So higher than just the literal meaning of the Bible, there's deeper significance in everything, right? And we know this, don't we? We know that if we're only listening to what's happening on the surface, or looking at people from what they look like, what they appear, what the events appear, we're missing most of the significance of things. We have to go deeper than that. Metaphysics is an invitation to go deeper, to go into the heart of things. It's the realm of ideas. See, in the realm of effect, there are limited options. Once it's come into crystallized into of the physical, limited options. When you're still in the spiritual, in the realm of cause, there's infinite possibilities, right? So if we want to make changes in our lives, we don't try and manipulate effects because there's only so many things you can do. It's like rearranging the furniture on the Titanic, as they say, right? We want to build ourselves a whole new boat that isn't going to sink, basically. And that's the only way you could do that is with ideas, in the realm of ideas. So metaphysics is about understanding these ideas and how they move in and through every story in the Bible. One more thing, and then I'm going to jump into a Bible story. At the 9:30, by the way, I thought I could get through Daniel chapter 3 and the prodigal son. Not going to happen, folks. We're just going to do Daniel, okay? So I'll put the prodigal son off to later, but we'll do Daniel. We'll definitely do Daniel today. Chapter 3, the burning fiery furnace. We all know the story, but let's see if we can understand it from a metaphysical point of view. And that's the final thing I wanted to say before we get into that, and that is that every person, place, situation, and condition in a Bible story is about aspects of our consciousness, right? Aspects of who we are. So therefore, when we read it, we don't read it looking for meaning outside of ourselves. We look for meaning, wow, what does that represent? Who does that character represent in me? What aspect of me is that? And how can I take this journey? Because in the burning fiery furnace, we go through an amazing journey. And it's an awesome piece of literature. One chapter in the Bible, but power-filled, right? To help us in our life experience today. So what we're going to do is jump right in. We'll read some of it, and we'll interpret it. So your work, you didn't realize you were coming to church for work, did you? But your work is to, or your joyous pleasure, how about that? And that makes it easier, doesn't it? Your joyous pleasure is to decide what character in here, what part of you does it represent, right? What's it saying to me today? And we'll have a go at this because it's quite fascinating. And by the way, this is supposed to be funny too. You know, when they wrote this, there's humor in it. And so we're meant to have fun with it. So I want you to have fun. You ready for some fun? Always. Good. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold image, 90 feet high and 9 feet broad, and had it set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Big statue, right? Gold, 90 feet high. You think it cost a lot? I think it did. The king then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to assemble and attend the dedication of the image he had set up. All the important people. The satraps, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all governors of provinces assembled for the dedication of the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they took their places in front of the image. A herald proclaimed in a loud voice, "Peoples and nations of every language, you are commanded when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, triangle, Fender Stratocaster, dulcimer, a full consort of music, to prostrate yourselves and worship the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whosoever does not prostrate himself and worship will be thrown forthwith into a blazing furnace." Accordingly, no sooner did the sound of horn, pipe, zither, triangle, Stratocaster, dulcimer. It's amazing what's in the Bible, isn't it? A full consort of music reached them, and all the peoples and nations of every language prostrated themselves and worshipped the gold image set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's stop there for a minute. Who is King Nebuchadnezzar in us? It's got to be ego, isn't it? It's got to be that part of us that wants to be in control, that wants the power, and wants everybody bowing down, right? Everything's got to do the way we want it to be, right? It's got to unfold in that way. And we're setting up things that really are powerful, you know, that we're proud of. 90-foot high golden images. Look at me. Look how wonderful I am, right? Or you could use it the other way when you're so miserable. Nobody's as miserable as I am. Look at me. God, I'm miserable. So your image doesn't have to be the good thing. It could be the bad thing. But it's still the thing that you want everybody to look at, right? So it's that image that we want people to see about ourselves. It's so cool. Oh, my God, it's cool. And so we gather around all the people who are going to agree with us, right? All the yes men and women, all the parts of us that are going to go along with the story. I've been thinking a lot about stories this week because, you know, when you create a story about your life, it's cool, except one thing. Then you have to live by the story, right? Everything has to conform to the story. And that's a hampering of, it's a problem, because what happens if I want to get rid of my story? I can't, because I've told myself and everybody else this is my story. So every so often, it's good to change your story, right? You don't have to live by that, because it can trap us, it can imprison us. An ego has a big story, doesn't it? Its story is what? I'm always right. It's all about me. I'm the best. Always will be. Oh, my goodness. Interesting how ego does this, isn't it? Interesting. So sets ourselves up, and, you know, everybody then must bow down, right? It's got to be a certain way. Ready to move on? All right, some Chaldeans seized the opportunity to approach the king with a malicious accusation against the Jews. They said, "Long live the king. Your majesty has issued a decree that everybody who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, triangle, Stratocaster, dulcimer, a full consort of music must fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not do so will be thrown into a fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have put in charge of the administration of the province of Babylon. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have disregarded your royal command. They do not serve your gods, nor do they worship the gold image you set up." In furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be fetched. And when they were brought into his presence, he asked them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready to prostrate yourselves as soon as you hear the sound of horn, pipe, zither, triangle, stratocaster, dulcimer, a full consort of music, and to worship the image which I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown forthwith into a blazing, fiery furnace. Yes. And what God is there that can deliver you from my power? So ego is saying to these young Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are they in us then? People who don't want to obey the norms, right? People who are in touch with something else, higher, whatever, because the Jews often represent the spiritual because they wrote the Bible. Whenever we hear the Jews mentioned, they're the good guys, right? So they represent that part of us that won't go along with convention, with the way it has to be. You know, there's something, I'm not necessarily going to believe the story anymore. There's something greater for me, yeah? And what part of that is happens when you start doing that within yourself? What happens? Is it a good thing to do? Is it a scary thing to do? Of course, it's hard to step out, isn't it, and do something different, right? Especially when all the powers that be tell you you've got to act a certain way. I mean, it's hard to be in unity sometimes, yeah, because we are different. When I go out into the community and tell people what Unity believes, sometimes they go, what? Because it's a little different. But then the number of people will say, oh, yeah, I understand that. That makes sense, right? So it's worth, if you believe something, you got to stand up for it. Like we prayed earlier about standing up for what we believe, standing up for that justice, that knowledge, that truth within. Sometimes you have to do that, yes? Because you know you're called to that higher way. Then what? You're expanding. You're expanding your understanding of what's possible on planet Earth, right? Here's what they replied to the king, because he was hoping that they'd go along with his plan, right? And they say, Your Majesty, we have no need to answer you on this matter. If there is a God who is able to save us from the blazing furnace, it is our God whom we serve. He will deliver us from your majesty's power. But if not, be it known to your majesty that we shall neither serve your gods nor worship the gold image you have set up. So whether we succeed or not, we're not following you because we have a higher way. When you've seen a higher way, you don't want to go back to the old way, do you? Even though we do on a daily basis fall back into ego sometimes, if we know a higher way, we'd always come up to that level eventually. We are invited up to that level, yes? That is our, what did Jesus say? Once you put your hand to the plow, you can't turn back. You may turn back and be forgetful for a while, but there's always that nudging that says, come on, return, remember. You know the truth. It's all possible. It's okay to let go of your story. Listen, at the end of last week, at the end of Sunday, you know, we had a great Sunday. And then I got home and found out all about the horrific events in Sutherland Springs in San Antonio, as we all did. And then you begin to think about, my God, what happens if it happened in our own community, if some crazy guy comes in and starts doing that? And it tears you up inside, you know, and you begin to feel overwhelmed by it. You feel you're about to be thrown into that burning, fiery furnace. And for a couple of days, I felt really down about it, actually. But then I realized, why am I giving my power away to that? Because I'm building into this Nebuchadnezzar image, which says our society is out of control, you know, horrific things are happening, and what am I going to do? Oh, my God, you know, we're going down the tubes. It doesn't help. It's not effective for me to do that, both in my own personal life and in what I'm trying to do in the world, what we're all trying to do. So I decided to return to center, the fact that divine order is established, right? There is good in this world. It is created and sustained by God. The best I can do is return to that center and then express from there, not express from my confusion and my fear and my distraction by all the crazy things. Because if we don't come to center. What hope is there? How can we make effective change in our world if we're as torn apart as everybody else seems to be, right? There has to be that willingness to come to that beautiful place of stillness. And when you come to that place of stillness, it doesn't matter what's happening or what befalls you, as the story tells us as it unfolds. And by the way, when they told him that we're not going to follow your way, old Nebi, it's not going to happen. What do you think Nebuchadnezzar thought of that? He wasn't very pleased, was he? See, our egos are never pleased when it doesn't go along the way we want it to go along, right? How dare they thwart me, right? And what do we do when somebody does something you don't like? Whoa, okay. I thought we were all Unity students here. We got some really bad people here. Oh, no. We generally project on them all the things that we don't want to look at in ourselves, right? That's what we do. We generally accuse them of the very things that we've got difficulties with. And that's the Nebuchadnezzar consciousness. It never wants to own things. It just wants to be the best and the most powerful, etc., etc. But it's all facade, right? It doesn't want to look inside. At this, Nebuchadnezzar was furious with them, and his face became distorted with anger. And there's been times when our faces have become distorted purple, yeah, purple with anger, distorted with anger. He ordered the furnace should be heated to 7 times its usual heat. Man, and we do that. We up the ante, don't we? We make it worse. We throw oil on the fire. And he commanded some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning fiery furnace. Then, just as they were, they, in trousers, shirts, headdresses, and their other clothes, they were bound and thrown into the furnace. Because the king's order was peremptory and the furnace exceedingly hot, those who were carrying the 3 men were killed by the flames. So those that were carrying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were burned up. What does that tell you? Not just that it's hot. This furnace has the power to destroy completely those things that are not real. That's my understanding here. The burning fiery furnace. And I'm going to ask you what the burning fiery furnace represents in a moment, okay? So be thinking about that. Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego fell bound into the blazing furnace, but they did not die. They were not killed. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, greatly agitated. Now, normally, when you've got your way and all is well, you know, they're disposed of. I've sent the hateful Facebook. I've done the deed. I should be happy, shouldn't I? But I'm not, because I'm still agitated, right? Because ego is never happy, right? If you notice this, you can never have full control so you can rest. The rest only comes from the spiritual center. There's no rest in ego. Doesn't matter how big the statue is. Doesn't matter how many people worship you. You always want more people to agree with you, yeah? More things to happen. So he was greatly agitated, and he sprang to his feet, saying to his courtiers, "Was it not 3 men whom we threw bound into the fire?" Now, before I go on, who are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in you? What do they represent? They're your higher self. Interesting thing about the Bible is each word in the Bible has meaning, and if you unlock the meaning of these words, they will yield metaphysical understanding, right? I can't go into all the details on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll tell you about Daniel, though. Daniel means God is my judge, right? Not the world is my judge. God is my judge. So Daniel, the whole book is about centering yourself in that presence. So I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those aspects of us that wish to follow God, that wish to follow the highest and best, right? But Nebuchadnezzar said, "I saw 3 men bound into the fire." They answered, "Yes, certainly, Your Majesty." Yet, he insisted, "I can see 4 men walking about in the fire, free and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." Who's the 4th man? Who's the 4th person? Where'd he come from? This is the part where we lock the doors. We don't let anybody leave until we get the real answer. Just kidding. Now, we can say God, or we can say spirit, or we can say angel, and all those are correct answers, but it's not real for us. It's just a nice idea. It's when it becomes real, when you feel the fourth person, right? Because Jesus said, where two or more gathered in my name, there I am. There's the presence. But we have to find it for ourselves. That's when the transformation occurs. I'll share a story that's true in my experience. About 4 months after my late wife, Davis, died back in 2003, I was sitting in my kitchen one morning, incredibly lonely and in pain and grieving. And I was in the fiery furnace, except it wasn't a hot furnace. It was the opposite. It was cold. It was deadly cold. It seemed empty, right? And I felt bereft. At that moment, a light came through the window and went straight through the glass of water that was on the table there. I felt, without a shadow of a doubt, that was her going from outside into the glass, that was a message. And I got amazing comfort from that moment. And I can't lie and say, oh, it was all better after that, because it wasn't. I was still in grief for many more months, and it still continues, because you never get over these things. But that was a direct fourth person arriving, right? That's the fourth person. That's the added extra that comes into that moment. When I felt bereft, when I was trying to hold on to my Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those qualities that I thought were true, love, understanding, whatever it is, but it wasn't enough. I needed something else. And that was given. It wasn't like, oh, the Christ Spirit came and it was wonderful. It wasn't like that. It was real. You know? It's easy to say these things, but it's the moments of where we're touched by Spirit that are powerful. And that was such a moment. And I knew from then on that all was well, that she wasn't going to be able to communicate with me in a human way anymore, but she was still there. She was still available. And that gave me great comfort to move forward with my life. Nebuchadnezzar approached the furnace door, and he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego emerged from the fire, the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's courtiers gathered round them and saw how the fire had had no power to harm their bodies. The hair on their heads had not been singed, their trousers were untouched, and no smell of fire lingered about them. Have you ever been through that furnace? I think we all have. We've been through those times of trauma and sadness and difficulty, right? And the hell at the time. But when we come forth, we realize, oh my God, I learned something wonderful in that experience. I am deeply changed, but not harmed, right? I am not diminished. I am expanded. And then even though I may have a wound that I bring with me, I'm still whole in some way. I still have an understanding of what's really going on. That's, for me, is the burning fiery furnace. Well, what is it for you? What is that burning fiery furnace experience? Growth? New beginnings? Is the world the burning fiery furnace, do you think? Seems like it. We can't avoid it, but we don't be overwhelmed by it either, right? So what is the key to successful passing through the furnace? Keep the faith. Being open to what I'm learning. Being able to let go of my story. Don't get into a pity party, because if you get into a pity party in the burning fiery furnace, it's hell. You can't take Nebuchadnezzar with you, right? All that thing you thought you were is not there in the furnace, because it's how God decides who you truly are. The only thing that can be destroyed in the furnace is the dross, by the way. Nothing real can be destroyed. And that's the good news of this, right? Only that which is not real is burned up. That which is real comes through. And I think you see that through the whole Bible. It says, my God is a consuming fire, consumes the non-real so that the real can be made even truer for us, right? Even more powerful. Now listen to this, because this is so typical of what ego does. Nebuchadnezzar declared when they came out unsinged. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He did a complete turnaround. He has sent his angel to save his servants who, trusting in him, disobeyed the royal command. He's saying this as if it's a good thing. Disobeyed the royal command. They were willing to submit themselves to the fire rather than to serve or worship any god other than their own god. "I therefore issue this decree. Anyone, whatever his people, nation, or language, if he speaks blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is to be hacked limb from limb, and his house is to be reduced to rubble. For there is no other God who can save in such a manner." Then the king advanced the fortunes of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Go figure, you know. First of all, he wanted to destroy all these people. Then he wants to lift them up, you know. What made him change? What made our egos change? We saw the power. We saw the true power, right? Ego always follows the true power when there's a good reason to do so. It's sad, though, from Nebuchadnezzar. It's, you know, so pitiful, isn't he? Now he's done a full about turn. And people who don't agree with this new way, this new rule, they're to be hacked limb from limb. What are we taking from this, folks, into our week, into our weekly lives? What can you do differently? What's the power of the metaphysics of this story? Just give us a few things to go on with.
Trust your innermost sacred self.
Oh, I love it. Trust your innermost sacred self, even though if there's no evidence that it's going to work, right? Because they said, if it works, great. If it doesn't work, I'm still going to trust my innermost sacred self. Amen. Beautiful. Trust that, and it'll take you through the most difficult places and bring you out unsinged. What else? Maybe we did the best and the greatest there. I don't know if we can top that. Well, we're going to try, though. Come on.
Stay open.
Stay open to what? All possibilities, you know. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Because ego is going to do that, man. That's the whole thing. That's why you have to be vigilant, right? Because look what happened in the end. The ego co-opted this new spiritual understanding. We can do that too. And then we can beat people over the head with our new spiritual understanding. You know? Craziness. One more. Be kind and speak truth, right? There was a gentleness about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was very different from all the raging fury of Nebuchadnezzar, right? That's the difference between when we have to be right and when we know we are right because we're right with God. We're right with that beautiful, peaceful place at the heart of us. Then we're cooking with gas. I don't know. I don't want to go there. A gas fire, whatever. No, no, no. That doesn't make sense. All right. Amen. So as we reflect on the meaning of that chapter from the Bible, which is very powerful, lots of images, lots of archetypes, lots of metaphysical truth, we notice that it is the quiet, centered parts of ourselves that don't want to judge, just want to be kind and trust and know Those are the aspects of us that have victory. It's that aspect of our consciousness that doesn't have to hold on to power plays or being right or a certain story. Instead, we let all that go. Let it be burned up. Continue to be true to ourselves, our real selves. And return to that tremendous power that creates and sustains everything. So how can I do that this week? In what way can I remove my attention from the golden statue and place it in the simplicities and the beauties of being alive? Quit worrying about making it all right in the outer. Find that peace within. Because when I do that, when we do that, we can then return to the world with greater ability. And often former enemies become friends. Old barriers in our minds become doorways to new understanding. In the silence, I consider the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I have that same courage. We are spiritual beings. All things are possible. In the silence. And it is in the stillness that true power and ability lie. We feel that stillness now. It is always available. It is God's great energy. From it flow all the ideas, wisdom, and inspiration we could possibly need. May it flow freely in our lives this week. Thank you, God. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful.